You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with authors, entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking to Mike Gullickson, author of the best-selling cyberpunk novel, The Northern Star, The Beginning. His second novel, The Northern Star Civil War, comes out on October the 15th. Mike, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Really appreciate you having me on.
You're more than welcome. So for starters, for the listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Yeah, so okay, so obviously we got my name, it's Mike Gullickson. I'm the author of The Northern Star, The Beginning, which was released in early 2013, and did really well. Examiner called it one of the top five indie published books you haven't read but should, and obviously did well sales-wise as well. The second novel, The Northern Star Civil War, is coming out this October 15th, and I hope it's as well received. As far as professionally, I've worked in the advertising world for 14 years where I've started, run, and consulted multiple companies. And, I live in Los Angeles with my family.
Awesome. And what got you into writing? Where did the interest begin?
Well, with writing, I'd always been writing something. So, I remember in high school, I'd write these horrible poems, because no one would date me, Eric. And so write all these just love torn poems. And then it just kind of grew from there where I was always really into movies, especially science fiction movies. So one of the goals when I first moved out to California from Chicago was to be a screenwriter. That was kind of like my hidden goal when I moved out here in 2003. And so, that's kind of how it started. I started out writing screenplays. And then from there, I just kind of learned, which I think is a good thing, that I'm not very good at writing screenplays, and so I really liked writing prose, like really diving into what the character's thinking and all those types of things. And so I started writing short stories and novellas, and it grew into novels. And that's how it came to be. Stephen King was probably my biggest influence growing up, but it'd be disingenuous to say that, that was why I started writing. Really, it's movies. When I'm writing a movie that's in my head. I'm transcribing it down to paper, if that makes any sense.
Good explanation. I read you wrote the first novel when you were bedridden. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, so I actually wasn't bedridden. It was housebound. It was kind of like a doctor's house arrest. So I got married in 2008. My wife and we went to Italy for 10 days. And about 3 days in, I started getting sick. And I thought it was fever, flu, or something like that. But it just kept on degrading to a point where I was in our hotel room. I was bedridden. Sweating, shaking. It's a very odd thing because I'm a healthy guy, and it really was one of those things where both my wife and I thought I was going to die. Like, we were crying. It was just horrendous. It doesn't even feel like it really happened. I don't know if you've been in a situation where you look back and it doesn't even feel like it was a part of your life. And so I finally got a little bit better, which now that I look with what's going on with Ebola in Dallas, it probably wasn't a good thing. And so but the doctors there couldn't really help me. Their English was as good as my Italian, and so there was a lot of communication problems. So we flew back from the airport, went to the ER, and I contracted a thing. It turns out I contracted this thing called pericarditis, which around your heart you have this thing called pericardium, which protects it, unless you have pericarditis, and then it can cause a heart attack. So anyway, I had a cardiologist, wasn't allowed to walk the dog, wasn't allowed to walk really much, and so I was on a couch or in my bed for a little over a month. And from there, got bored watching TV, watching movies, and I'd written this really horrible screenplay called The Northern Star, but I really liked the story, and so I started writing it as a novel, and it ended up becoming three novels, and that's kind of how it started.
What a story. Wow. And, I can only imagine what you were thinking and going through at that time. What's the series about? Tell, get into that a little bit, if you would.
All right. And if I go too long, the safe word is pigeon, because I don't have a good elevator speech. So basically, the Northern Star, It takes place. It's a near future sci-fi novel, and it takes place in 2060, where for about 10 years, you know, what's been going on is truly the oil depletion, where the peak oil has come and gone years before, and the last of the oil is we're now, you know, drilling for. And so the U.S., China, and the European Union have united into what's called the coalition. And this is what I think would happen, is they've basically invaded with military force oil-rich countries, and they're taking all that's left. And so the world, and this has caused terrorism to explode, obviously, and even with the coalition, there's a lot of distrust between them. And the world, as far as the modern world we're used to, right, it really is in peril. But there's a company, kind of like an Apple-Microsoft-type company called MindCorp that's invented a thing called the MindLink. And what it does is that you put on your head, and it's kind of like the Matrix in a way, where it allows you to be fully immersed online. Or, it's a two-way data feed. You are online if you want to be. You can work from your apartment. You can meet your friends at a bar that doesn't really exist. And that is where all of the world has migrated to, because that's all that's left. And in doing that, the corporation has become as big as government. And it just becomes, again, it's just a very violent transitional time in the first book. And the main character, John Ramey, is a soldier who becomes crippled during a terrorist attack. And he gets roped into becoming using this technology, the first bionic soldier, called a tank major. So basically, these three novels, the first book, he's trying to do it for his family because of the trials they're going through. And then each subsequent book, again, it's just the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so we see through his eyes as the world continues to get, you know, to delve down into this ugly abyss. He's the one that's kind of taken us on this journey. And, that's pretty much the story. But theme-wise, it deals a lot with technology addiction, the gray area of power and right and wrong, and also just, there's no this person's evil, this person's good. You know, it's a very opaque world, basically.
That sounds like an interesting read for sure. Today we're joined by Mike Gullickson, author of the best-selling cyberpunk novel, The Northern Star, The Beginning, his second novel, The Northern Star. Civil War comes out on October the 15th, right around the corner here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Why near-future science fiction?
Well, the cool thing with near-future science fiction, unless you're talking about like aliens invading and we learn from their technology, is that you have to deal with what's going on today. And so it really is something where for someone reading it, right, so this world, the Northern Star, starts 50 years from now, basically. And you have to look at what's going on today and extrapolate out to that future if you're going to be, writing something that's kind of honest and accurate. And so, that's kind of the cool thing with Near Field, is it makes us look at what's going on today and what the pitfalls might be in the future. And so with the Northern Star, you look at bionics, right? Well, there's bionic soldiers. Well, exoskeletons are being developed right now for our military. Right now we're in the bionic age. You look at technology addiction. Do you do Facebook?
Diaz, I'm a Facebooker, Twitter, Pinterest, you name it, I'm on it.
Well, you look at Facebook, right? And not to be, I'm not really that extreme. And by the way, I am pot calling the kettle black as far as me talking about Facebook, because I use it all the time. But I mean, you sit here, I catch myself, my kids, I have a 4-year-old and an 8-month-old, and I catch myself on my phone just drooling, looking at photos and people that I haven't talked to in person in 20 years. And it gives this illusion of us being connected when they're not our friends anymore. They're our friends from the past. What does that mean in the future? Well, what it means really is that we think we have this life, this full life, when really the life we have in front of us, we're not even paying attention to. And so, that's kind of the cool thing with near future sci-fi, is you can look at what's going on and then address it in some way in the story and hopefully make it entertaining. I don't know, was that a good response or no?
That was a great response. In fact, you really, really hit on some great points about those folks that were our friends. We haven't talked to them in 20 years, and we're letting our present disappear and looking back too much into the past, if you would. Great explanation. Really good point.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's voyeurism. And again, I don't know. It's just something where I think it's an illusion. It's a mirage. And we're just getting, again, and I'm as guilty as the next person. I mean, it is, you know, it's scary. And then the thing too is, of course, we're dealing with the world's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, which we all view as a good thing. And I'm not convinced it is. And a lot of it, again, has to do with, again, we're looking at people that that they aren't our friends. They were our friends.
I tell you, it certainly is an interesting topic, no question about it. You're having my mind going on where we could take that. But getting back to you, why did you choose to indie publish?
You know, I didn't really choose it. What had happened is I'd written these books all in order. So at least in a first draft form, they were all done. And so agents got interested. So at one point, there was these two agencies, talent agencies, that were looking at it. And it just took so long. And it was something where one of them passed and then the other one held on for 6 months. And this is, again, this is probably 3 years ago when I really was like, I want an agent. I want to be traditionally published, all that. And so, but it reached a point once when they passed, you know, I'd waited 8 months. And again, I think just in life, waiting around's a bad idea. And now it's separate from patience, right? Sometimes you got to be patient for your efforts to pay off. But I think if you're waiting to be chosen or deemed worthy or however you want to, I think you just kind of have to do your own thing. Again, like we're talking about being an entrepreneur, right? And so I decided, I'm like, from their perspective as an agent, well, their time is money. What would they rather have? Someone who has some heat and has some following, or someone who's completely undiscovered? Well, for their time and money, I imagine they'd want to have someone that already has a little bit of name equity. So I decided to self-publish because of that. And so I published the first novel, and if it did well, then it'd be easy to get an agent if I so chose. And if it didn't, then, you know, then that's just the way it is anyway. So that's really how it came to be. But now, you know, the way everything's going, I think the publishing industry is very similar to what happened with the record industry a decade ago. I don't know if I'd go traditional now. The advantages, I think, are much less than they used to be.
What's the biggest challenge in marketing a book these days, and any advice to anyone considering in writing their own book?
Yeah, so, I mean, without a doubt, the biggest challenge is getting above the noise. I don't know if the statistics totally accurate, but I read somewhere that was something where like 2,500 books, so these are self-published books, indie books, traditionally published books, are published every day. So that's something like 900,000 books are published a year. And again, if the stat's off by half, fine. You know what I mean? So 500,000, 450,000 books are published every year. And so before, you know, you go back 20 years, you know, it was a regulated market, right? You had to go through big publishers. And there was book clubs, and there's all these things where specific authors could really be positioned, and it probably guaranteed book sales. But now it's something where, I mean, how do you get above the noise? Because, you know, of these books, now some of them I'm sure are lousy, but there's a lot of great authors, and there are amazing books right now that are better than mine that no one will ever read because there's just too much. And so I think that's the tough thing, is that, it's trying to get above the noise, and it's also managing your expectations. I think if you walk into here thinking you're going to get rich, you are deluded, and maybe you'll get lucky. But I think it's, you know, there's a little bit of pixie dust to getting it where you really get the momentum, where, you know, you hear about these books that are everyone's buying. So I think that's it, basically. It's just, it's a noise floor. It's how do you get it where you can get, you know, you can reach an audience that would like your, would want to read your books.
Well, tell us, where can our listeners purchase the book, and where can listeners know more about you as well?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, MikeGullickson.com. I'm also on Twitter with @MikeGullickson. The books, so The North Star of the Beginning is out right now. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, you can go to iTunes. You can buy it paperback on Amazon. And, so just look for The North Star of the Beginning. And, again, the North Star Civil War is coming out in October 15th. So that will be in all the same sales channels as well.
Well, Mike, certainly has been a privilege and a pleasure to have spoken with you today, and certainly wish you all the best. Thanks for spending a moment with us on Enterprise Radio.
Excellent. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
You bet. We've been speaking with Mike Gullickson, author of the best-selling cyberpunk novel, The Northern Star, The Beginning. His second novel, The Northern Star Civil War, coming out soon, October the 15th. And once again, the website of reference is MikeGullickson.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.